Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subgroup B call on Tuesday, the 5th of March, 2019. On the call today, we currently have Ann Aikman-Skilly, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Krista Taylor, Drew Wilson, Jean Guillon, Jeff Newman, Jessica Hooper, Phil Buckingham, Ruben Skuhl, Sarah Langstone, and Susan Payne. If anyone has joined on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Okay, hearing no names. We also do have apologies from Jim Prendergast and Justine Chu. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Steve Chan, and myself, Michelle DeSmiter. As a reminder, if you would please remember to state your name so it appears clearly on the transcription. Thank you ever so much, and I will turn the meeting over to Ruben Skuhl. Please begin.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks, everyone, for attending, at least the ones that are not yet traveling to Kobe. So those who are able to attend, we appreciate you being with us today. Today we'll look at 278, which in our initial report was the topic for main collisions, which is the last tab in our Google Doc. We'll start with some general comments. One is people can see line 4, which is the comment from ALAC about to generally wait on ASAC recommendations, which is something that the work track where this topic was discussed, work track 4, generally did, including some outreach and some efforts. So that's the suggestion from ALAC. The ASAC actually commented, and this was stated below, their comment is most of a disagreement with some informational content of the report, not with the recommendations from the report, which is then spread out at all the lines in the in our comment analysis tool, but mostly saying that they have warned and people haven't listened, and the initial report has some different writing than their opinion on that. And after the below the ASAC comment, there is a general comment from XYZ, a concern, and they mentioned that it was widely known that in the previous round, name collisions were shamelessly used by certain industry powers as an irrational fear-mongering manipulation tactic to create uncertainty and doubt about the new GTLD program. ICANN should not fall for this trap again and should not rely on any technical resources, data, research, or other information that comes from or is funded by parties with vested financial interest in the topics. So this is a concern also to be forward to the full work group in making deliberations regarding name collisions. Just confirming that no comments on the chat or hands raised so far. Our next comment is actually one of the ASAC comments in line 7. Line 7, where ASAC provides an overview of the name collisions analysis project and suggests considerations for those evaluating dependencies between that project and the PDP. Since ASAC issued that comment, that project went through a phase where it pretty much was developed internally within ASAC, and it's currently on hold. Whether it's on hold for a limited time or on hold forever or on hold for a long period of time, we don't know yet. That's something for ICANN organ board to decide, but just to give people some context, that's currently unknown whether this effort is coming to fruition or not. Another comment from ESSEC at line 8 is about how ICANN should deal with private names that are known to have collisions, how it should find out and how they should respond. This is more like of an implementation guidance for name collisions. So this is not either in criticism nor in addition to the report that went to a higher level of definitions and not to on-the-ground definitions. But it's interesting suggestions that the full working group can either take into the report or at least mention for whoever developed the implementation of this plan that this very interesting implementation guidance. And then we go to the first item of our report, which is 278C1, which was a recommendation to include a mechanism to evaluate the risk of name collisions in TLD evaluation process as well during the transition to delegation phase. This recommendation was supported by BRG, Valideus, IPC, and most of this supported without any further qualifications. But there are some agreements with some qualifications, like the one from Newstar, where while they supported predictability, they asked some questions like how would risk be measured, what level risk to determine which category TLD falls into, and who would make such determination, and which are more open-ended questions for people to consider. Next, we have comments from registries, and like most comments in this topic, registries were very divided and had at least one registry proposing one thing and had at least one registry proposing a different thing and opposing that thing that the first one proposed. So we'll look into this as more closer to individual positions than to stakeholder group positions, that at least one registry support the idea to Americans to evaluate the risk of collisions, but one other registry said that the PDP working group, us, don't have enough data or expertise to recommend a mechanism. And we also have line below, line 15, recommendation from ESSEC to wait for ESSEC to complete his work before proceeding with the next round. Collisions have the potential for great user harm. The proceeding needs to wait for ESSEC to complete its work and be subject to their recommendations. But as we know, that's an uncertain aspect of the program at this point. So, is there any questions, comments so far? We have one comment from NICON Scalise that for Dennis Chang, the board had questions about the cost of the name collisions analysis project. I'm not sure what Rubens means by on hold, so maybe we should ask Rubens. I think they like comments related to waiting for the NCAP to complete, but Justin could clarify. We can ask Justin and Kobe in a few days because she was unable to attend this call, but buy on hold. The only information we have is that it's on hold at this very moment, if it's on hold for a day and it will stop being on hold tomorrow, or if it's hold until 2030, we don't know it. That's all we know so far. So seeing no further comments, let's go to 278C2. The recommendation was to use data-driven methodologies using trusted research-accessible data sources like Day in the Life of Internet and operational research data from internal namespace logs, which is a database maintained by Jazz Advisors, nicknamed Original. That recommendation was agreed to by the Brand Registry Group. Newstar agreed but had some concerns, which is the same concerns they were mentioned before. And the Registry Stakeholder Group actually responded with questions like what evaluation mechanism would be used, how would the mechanism be defined and measured, what methodology and quantitative study was used to determine risk, and they added, due to the transparent nature of ICANN, this would require the use of data-driven methodologies that utilize trust and open research with a data source, which is basically what our recommendation, the report said. Then we have the IPC, which suggested deferring to the named collisions analysis project that was already mentioned, including its current status, and ALAC also suggesting to wait on ESSEC recommendations. So let's see if anyone could has any other topic. I see a suggestion from Anne in the chat that Steve seems to be taking this as an action item. So let's move to 278C3. The recommendation is that efforts should be undertaken to create a do not apply list of strings that pose a substantial name collision risk, whereby application for such strings would not be allowed to be submitted. The Brand Registry Group agreed with this recommendation. ICANN.org has also agreed, but with a qualifier that from a technical perspective, ICANN does not have any concerns with this recommendation. There are some operational considerations that the PDP might want to against. But they actually mentioned the fact that ICANN would run control interruption, which is a different topic that we'll see below, and we can discuss that comment in there. The Registrar Stakeholder Group agreed with the list, but mentioned that the list would be need to actively manage for additions and subtractions. Newstar also agreed with the same concerns that they expressed before, which are more general in nature. And in the Registry Stakeholder Group, you had yet again one registry saying one thing and one saying another. At least one mentioned that would be beneficial, and at least one thinks that the PDP working group doesn't have enough data. And we also repeat here the comment from IPC and ALAC of deferring to ESSEC named collision analysis project, case of IPC, and ALAC, which deferred on ESSEC recommendations, which has and mentioned we are somewhat unsure whether this was specific to the named collision analysis project or recommendations in general. And that's something that you might get clarity further down the road. Next, we have 278C4. In that, the recommendation is that a second list of TLDs should be created, if possible, offspring that may not pose as high of an in-collision risk as the do-not-apply list, but for which there would be a strong presumption that a specific mitigation framework would be required. But before going to that, let's see if we have any hands. We have one from Anne. Please go ahead, Anne.
Hi, Ruben. Thanks. It's Anne Aikens-Felice for the transcript. And Steve Chan had placed some text in the chat about the name collision comment from the ALAC. And he said the ALAC comment was the process needs to wait for the SVAC to complete its work and to be subject to their recommendations. Next round should not proceed before that is in. And so I don't know that there's as much it may in fact not be terribly, you know, unclear as to what the ALAC means, because I recall a meeting in which they commented that they thought that it should depend on the results of the name collision analysis project. If there's not going to be a name collision analysis project, then I don't know if that means that ALAC, you know, might have some other further comment, but we can certainly ask for clarification, and I think Justine is the person who can clarify, but I had certainly understood from statements made by others in meetings that they were talking about name collision analysis projects. So I guess if you think that needs further clarification, we will go to Justine to clarify. So, and then I guess it depends on what the board is going to do or not do in relation to whether that not that goes forward. But it is my recollection that the board, in fact, passed a resolution related to that, adopting recommendations in SAC 90. And I think that if they don't move forward with NCAP, they would need to reverse that resolution. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam. Just a general comment regarding board adoption of recommendations. We have a long history of recommendations that the board adopted, and that meant something very different where people fought. So we usually take board adoption as when it's implemented, then we know what they meant by adopting. That applies to response to GAC advice, SELAC suggestions, SAC suggestions, everything, not just this part. Continuing 278C4, the brand registry group supported that creation of that, not say medium risk list, but be careful list. ICANORG also had some agree with that, but they had a concern, which is from a different part of the recommendation that we read when it comes. Neustar also mentioned their overarching comment of their questions and concerns regarding this. The registry stakeholder group also repeated most of their questions, but for this specific item, they qualified with other questions like how would not as high risk be calculated, how do we know that measure for risk is the correct one, not having analysis of the effectiveness of alternate path to allegation or control disruption, how would be certain that those mitigation frameworks even work, and how to be avoided shades of gray situation where anyone could put a name of the list. And they also concerned with possible repercussions to reputation of the applicant. I believe the more reputation of the string when delegated, but and how should error, subjectivity, and gain and abuse be handled. And we have the same overarching comment from IPC and ALAC, IPC deferring to the name collisions project and ALAC deferring to some of the effect work, and we still will figure out which effect work is that. We had some chat going on regarding Sakniti, which is probably an interesting discussion to follow, but let's move on to 278C5. The recommendation was to allow every application, other than those on the do not apply list, to file a name collision mitigation framework with their application. Brand registry group supported, ICANN supported, and their concern is regarding controlled interruption. We'll talk about it later. The registry stakeholder group also had divisions and concerns, but mostly they were reemphasizing their criticism on having too many tiers in the risk classification. And IPC and ALAC repeated their overarching comments. But in case of IPC, there is an added divergence. It is not only referring to name collisionized project, that they said that name collision risk and mitigation proposals should be evaluated by independent experts, not by applicants and ICANN staff. Just a comment, I believe the report suggested using RSTEP panel, and the RSTEP panels are actually composed by independent experts, not by ICANN staff, and while some of their members could be applicants, their operating procedures allow people to recuse themselves from evaluating things they would have a vested interest on. And same comments from ALAC regarding ESSEC. Next, we have 278C6, recommendation that during the evaluation period, a test should be developed to evaluate the mean collision risk for every applied for string, putting them into three baskets, high risk, aggravated risk, and low risk. And it should, clear guidance should be provided to applicants in advance of what those risk criteria are. BRG supported those recommendations, and ICANN had some qualifications regarding control interruption. We'll see them later. Newstar mentioned their overarching questions to the group, which also apply to this position. The registry stakeholder group basically repeated their questions on how this is measured, how this is classified, how, but added some two specific points that were not mentioned before. One was about, can risk assessment be gamed by issuing superfluous DNS requests? So this would impact how it would be measured, and mentioned that some applied for strings might be totally new, but those would be assumed as not having any collision risk at all. IPC and ALAC basically mentioned the overarching comments. Next, we have 278C7, recommendation that high-risk strings would not be allowed to proceed and would be eligible for some form of a refund. And again, we have support from Brand Registry, some agreement with one concern that we'll discuss later regarding ICANN.org, and we had the Registry Center of the Group support for a full refund except banking fees in that cases. IPC had support for a refund, but they prefer that the screening should occur before the full fee is paid. So this would make the evaluation process a bit different, that only after that part of the evaluation being done is that the evaluation, the full evaluation fee would be paid. And we have the same overall ALEC suggestion regarding deferred to SEC. The next recommendation in the report was 278C8, that aggravated risk streams would require a non-standard mitigation framework to move forward in the process. The process frame, proposed framework would be evaluated by an RSTEP panel. And we had agreement with this from the DRG, ICANN.org, but we had some questions from registry stakeholder group, and they, those questions were that why does the classification of aggravated risk require different than customized mitigation framework? They meant they believe that mitigation framework should be robust enough to be applied to low-risk TLDs. And once it's in place, the RSG supports both the approach and the setters making the assessment. IPC mentioned that this should be referred to the Mitigations Project, and Mitigation Risk and Mitigation Proposal should be evaluated by independent experts, not by applicants and ICANN staff, which I would just see that deferring to NCAP is actually divergence, but saying that name collision risk and mitigation proposals should be evaluated by independent experts is actually agreement with the final report, because that's how the RSTEP panel operates. So I believe we could change this, but there is still a divergence, which is referring to NCAP that needs to be recorded. And they like had the same comment regarding waiting for ESSEC. Seeing no hands, let's move to 278C9. Low-risk strings would start controlled interruption as soon as such finding is reached. Recommend to be done by ARCAN.org for a minimum period of 90 days, but likely more considering the typical timeline for evaluation, contracting, and delegation. DRG supported the recommendation. ICANN also supported, but this is exactly the topic where the qualification, the concern that ICANN had has to be discussed. They seem to be somewhat uneasy with the fact that ICANN world needs to be on record as registrant for the TLD, and they think that might generate confusion. That's something for the full work group to decide, but this is something that probably could be addressed, but that's something for consideration by the full work group to see, hey, this is something that might generate a perception problem, how to deal with that problem. Newstart suggested that register operator should commence the control interruption as soon as possible. So I think this is more of a full divergence, not a split agreement diversion. I think Newstart in this regard fully diverged with the initial report, because they do not support that ICANN would carry out control interruption. And they also didn't support that period of control interruption should necessarily exceed 90 days. So they seem very divergent from what is in the report. The registry stakeholder group mentioned that under ICANN bylaw section 2.2, it's not clear why ICANN staff are an appropriate operator of control interruption, something for the full work group to consider, although my reading of bylaw section 2.2 gives ICANN some latitude regarding security, which is also why ICANN can make Ibero transitions. ICANN can make even suspend operation of a TLD if it poses life-threatening risk. So it's quite possible that people will read these bylaws in a different angle. And we had a comment from AILAC to also wait from ESSEC recommendations. Steve mentioned that the market line 65 from ICAUG is a new idea. I don't, if he asked if we have concerns with that. I don't know if he would call it a new idea or a concern, but it's actually something different, something that ICAUG is stating that should be considered as a potential hazard to be dealt with. So whether we, however we classify that, I think it both works. Next we have 278C10. If controlled interruption for a specific label is found to cause disruption, ICAUG could decide to disable controlled interruption for that label while the disruption is fixed, provided that the minimum controlled interruption period is still applied to that stream. Brand registry group supported that recommendation. The registry stakeholder group supported the recommendation and mentioned why. This is actually the rationale for this proposal. And AILAC mentioned wait for ESSEC recommendations. So at least on these recommendations, possibly one that we can call it unanimous support. Next, we have 278E1. It was an open-ended question. If there is a dependence between the findings of the working group and the named collisions analysis project, how should the PDP working group and named collisions analysis project working party collaborate in order to move forward? Or should the PDP working group defer all named collisions recommendations to that project? ICAUG board commented that may be opportunities to combine work. NewSTAR supported the current name collision mitigation frameworks. The United States Postal Service suggested deferring to the name collisions analysis project and mentioned that if there are name collision proposals, it should be evaluated by independent third party. We had the registry stakeholder group. Actually, some registries proposed some things, some others. And while some registries recognized the value of NCAP work, some members mentioned that the PDP should be the one saying and deciding how this would be handled, and others referring to NIMH collisions and large projects to finish his work. And there is also a suggestion for some liaison capacity between those groups. And we also had AILAC recommendations to wait from ESSEC. Next, we have 278E2. In the event that NIMH collisions project work is not completed prior to the next application round, should the default be the same name collision mitigation frameworks in place today be applied to those CLDs approved for next round? The registry stakeholder group said yes. NewSTAR also supported current mitigation frameworks. And again, we have some registries with divergence position. At least one registry mentioned that ICAUG should at least release the studies so the community can see for themselves if those frameworks can be applied. If they can do that, they should do a study on the efficacy of the previous controlled interruption framework. And the other viewpoint that a formal study should be mentioned, and without those baseline measurements, assessing the risk of any framework is not possible. So very different viewpoints from different registries, and we had ALEC mentioned weight on ASEC. We had some discussions in chat regarding the board resolution, but this seemed more tailored for continuing the chat. We can go to 278E3. The work track generally agreed to keep the contract interruption period at 90 days due to lack of consensus in changing. Some evidence indicated a 60-day period would be enough, though no evidence was provided to require a longer period. Some member of the work track argued for a longer 120 days. So the question was what the length should be of control interruption. Registry stakeholder group supported 90 days. New Star supported 90 days. Registries mentioned that this should be defined by GNSO policy, not to be deferred to other parties. And ALEC mentioned to wait for ASEC recommendations. Not seeing any more hands. Let's go to 278E4. During the first 2 years following delegation of a new GTLD stream, registry operators were required to implement a readiness program, ensuring that certain actions be taken within a couple of hours in the event that collision was found, as if that presented a substantial risk to life, if it was life-threatening. The two-year readiness for possible collisions was kept in the initial report as determined in the 2012 framework, but some in the work tracks are that the service level, meaning the response time, was too demanding. And so the question was, what would be a reasonable response time? The registry stakeholder group suggesting deferring that question to ASEC, and ALAC mentioned wait on ASEC recommendations. Next, we have 278E5. If ICANN were initially required to initially delegate strings to its own control interruption platform and then later delegate the TLD to the registry, would that unreasonably increase the change to the root zone? Newstar answered that they don't support control interruption being performed by ICANN. They suggest to stick to be performed by the registry operator. The registries had divergence of opinions. At least one registry mentioned that while this would at least increase the changes to the root zone by a factor of two, concerns around scalability and rate of changes induced by control interruption should be framed and addressed by qualified parties such as the HUD Security Advisory Committee or the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. Furthermore, it's unclear why control interruption should be considered an appropriate operation as an ICANN staff task based on the bylaws. And the other viewpoint from a registry was that ICANN has latitude to operate control interruption if determined by policy, doing themselves or through a contractor as happens with FIBRO, and to address operational concerns such as root zone stability and scalability, as the recent decision on the root zone key rollover also has shown. Advisory bodies such as ASAC, ASAC, and the root zone evolution committee are very useful for ICANN decision making those matters, but ultimately the responsibility is ICANN orgs, including acting, having merits or liabilities. And we also had the overarching comment from ALAC regarding weight on ASEC recommendations. Next, we have 278E6. What threat vectors for named collisions in legacy GTLDs should the working group consider, and what mitigations control, if any, can be used to address such threats? This is actually one of the few topics that the charter in our work group asks to look into all GTLDs. We had very different views from registries. One that said legacy GTLDs do not face the same threat vectors for collisions as new GTLDs because the internet grew around them and name collisions were necessarily avoided. New GTLDs face name collisions based on existing streams that didn't anticipate the new GTLDs. Therefore, there is no overlap that would be useful. And the other viewpoint that larger depends of users on services located in legacy GTLDs make those issues much more of a problem than collisions in new and user namespaces. This is also the document opinion of the same contractor that worked with ICANN to create the name collision framework, NIMI, Jazz Advisors, in a presentation in the first ICANN DNS forum. And we also had the overarching comment from AILAC of deferring to ASSEC. Moving on, we have 278E7 regarding the do not apply and exercise care list. How should technical standards for these categories be established? Should experts other than those involved in the name collisions project can be consulted? We had a comment from the MING LTD group, which was about the strings from the 2012 round, which is out of PDP scope. The comment is there documented, but is not something that working group can consider because it's not in our charter. The registry stakeholder group also had different viewpoints among its membership. One was that authoritative groups that have the technical and analytical prowess to assess the security risk level should be consulted, ASSEC and CAP, ASSEC, etc., and the other viewpoints that such consultations have already occurred, and those opinions are already factored into the initial report of the PDP working group. And the AILAC, as always mentioned, wait on ASSEC recommendations. Seeing no other comments, let's go to 78E8. As applicants are primarily recommended above to be allowed to propose mini collision mitigation plans, who should be evaluating mitigation frameworks put forth by applicants? Should RSTEP be utilized as preliminary recommended above or some other mechanism? Yet again, among registries, there were different viewpoints. One was to defer to the ICANN organizations like ASSEC and CAP and ASSEC, and other registries criticizing that, saying that community organizations do not have resources, capabilities, and methods to be involved operationally in the evaluation process. And we had also a comment from AILAC on waiting on ASSEC recommendations. And this was it for 278 main collisions. And we are done. Any questions, comments? Let's give people some time to think and thank you, Cheryl. So, seeing no other comments, we can get back some minutes of our lives. It's been a nice work this last session of subgroup B going through our teams, but it seems we are done. We were the last group to finish, but it seems we had a heavy workload on our hands, but we at least ended up ending before the next physical ICANN meeting. So I give you back to Michael to end the call. Thank you all. For those of you being Kobe, safe travels. See you there. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ruben. This meeting has been adjourned.